Hey, everybody. Welcome to Fans High, the podcast for all those complex and complicated conversations about the gray areas in our lives. I am your favorite politics and pop culture journalist, Jared Hill.
And I am entertainment journalist and film critic Travelle Anderson. Coming up on the show today, last week was actually our 15th episode. Y'all, we've been in these streets doing these podcasts for you. And Jared came up with the great idea to celebrate this particular milestone that we should focus all on your feedback, your emails, your DMs, your everything about the show. But first, we're going to get into our week's rendition of Dishonorable Mentions.
Yes. So our dishonorable mentions are stories or people that caught our attention this week that deserve a call out either for their awesome or for their ridiculous. First up, I'm going to give an honorable mention to Tracy Pickett. She is the founder of Hairbrella. She is a friend of mine in Atlanta. And I'm so incredibly proud of her because she came up with this idea for Hairbrella, which is the revolutionizing of the rain hat. She had gone to a salon to get her hair done and it was raining outside. And she was like, I need something better than putting like a grocery bag over my head. And so she invented this hairbrella that is fantastic. It considers humidity. It considers all different kinds of hair, different lengths of hair. And this past week, they celebrated their first $1 million in sales. And so I'm super proud of her and excited. If you've never heard of Hairbrella, it's been on Good Morning America and on The View and all over the place. It's really, really fantastic. You can go to hairbrella.com to check out the product. And support this awesome Black woman. So congratulations to Tracy Pickett.
You think she'd let me borrow $5?
No.
My first honorable mention this week is actually going, it's a shout out to the wonderful, the one and only, the Obamas, okay? Ms. Barack, not Ms. Barack, but you know, Ms. Barack, the community Barack. Y'all know what I mean.
The royal Barack, if you will.
Yes, yes. Barack and Michelle Obama, shout out to Becoming on Netflix. But they opted not to attend their portrait unveiling at the White House, as is tradition. I'm sure Miss Rona had something to do with them making that decision. But I also just love the idea of them being like, you know what, Trump, we ain't interested in seeing you right now. And, you know, he been taking that hydrocortisone.
What's it called? It's not hydrocortisone. It's hydroxychloroquine.
Well, I don't think you should be taking hydrocortisone either, in addition to hydrochloroquine. Did I say it right?
No, but sure.
They know what I mean. Anyway, I'm just glad to see that they're, you know, they're out here giving these little subtle digs to, you know, Trump and them. And I love to see it.
I know that it's like, it's kind of controversial the way that the whole portrait thing is happening, because like the question has been like, did they decline it or did the Trumps decline it, or was there like a mutual it's a very mixed thing, but it's very much like fuck you from both sides, I guess. So I want to give a shout out and honorable mention to David Makes Man, the show on OWN. They just received a Peabody Award nomination, and I'm super proud of them. The show is created by Terrell Avin McCraney, who you might know as the writer-creator of Moonlight. It's executive produced by Oprah Winfrey, who I'm sure you may have heard of. Michael B. Jordan is also executive producer on the show. My friend Michael Williams directed the first episode, the pilot, and created like the visual world of the show, and I'm just super proud of all of them. And whether they win the Peabody or not, like them getting this nomination is pretty amazing. So congratulations to all of you.
Yes. So now my dishonorable mention this week is actually going out to all of those corporations that typically give some coin toward the homosexuals during Pride, and now they're not. Because, you know, Pride has been canceled all over the place because Miss Rona just don't know how to let up, okay? And so while some of these entities have been, like, trying to turn Pride into, like, a virtual type of thing, a lot of these corporations, they're not, like, reallocating that money that was originally allotted to their Pride campaigns and Pride celebrations to LGBTQ people. And so that's exactly what I feel like they need to be doing. Like, okay, you know, the queer folks, the trans folks, like, they still need your money, and they need it actually maybe a lot more in this particular moment. So, like, make sure that, like, if you... We talk a lot about, like, good governance. We talk about, like, you know, community involvement, for, you know, from a corporate sense. I think this is the moment where we'll really be able to see which companies truly care about us as a people, mm-hmm. and which ones are just doing it, you know, for show.
Absolutely. And doubling back on that, I think it's important that you guys are considering when you're thinking about organizations that you want to give to, remember organizations that focus on Black and brown folks, because oftentimes large LGBTQ organizations tend to leave out Black, brown, and sometimes even trans folks, even when yes. LGBTQ is supposed to be what their focus is. Last honorable mention coming from me is going to go to a show on Netflix. Netflix probably needs to run us some money, because I feel like
Where's our coin strong Black lead? We're shouting out somebody at Netflix.
So I want to shout out The World's Most Extraordinary Homes on Netflix. It is a, you know, I'm into interior design. If you're watching the video right now, you know what, how my place looks. I love interior design.
It's ugly.
You done? Are you done? Let me know. Let me know. I ain't got nothing but space and opportunity. What's up?
Go for it.
I love this show, The World's Most Extraordinary Homes. It's hosted by Piers Taylor and Caroline Quentin, and I love the chemistry between the hosts. They're awesome. And the houses that they go to around the world are just amazing. And like in this time where I'm like, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? Like after Corona, I'm like, maybe I should go back into design. Like it's just a fantastic show. And you should check it out. The World's Most Extraordinary Homes on Netflix.
I don't give you too much, you know, compliments and stuff, but I could see you hosting like a extreme home makeover type show. You could become the new Ty Pennington.
I
think that was the
move
host name.
That bus. Like, yes, there we go. I could be that guy. I could totally be that guy.
I could see it. I could
Hello,
see it.
ABC or the HGTV I'll now has that show. HGTV is now doing it with Jesse Tyler Ferguson. So another
well,
guy.
There it is. Then I also could see you on like a While You Are Out type show or a Trading Spaces type show from back in the day.
I actually While You Were Outed someone. Okay, I just realized I did out it.
While you were out?
I did a surprise like design for a friend in high school. Her mom had me redecorate my friend's bedroom in a day. It was actually really, really dope. And then they ended up moving the next year. So anyway, moving on. You were saying.
Sour. Anyway, my last honorable mention actually goes to myself, because in the words of the one and only RuPaul, if you can't love yourself, how the hell you gonna love anybody else, okay?
Can I get an amen?
Hallelujah! I'm giving a shout out to this IG page on Instagram, in case y'all don't know what IG mean, called Black Movie Posters, okay? Now, the reason why I say I'm giving myself a shout out is because I'm the one who created it.
Amen.
And I'm basically doing, I'm doing kind of a curation, if you will, getting my curation vibes going.
Honey, the girls love to curate, don't they?
Listen, honey, girls are making money off of curating.
Hey, come on, okay. And I'm not mad at it. Get your coin.
Anyway, so the page is basically I post different, you know, Black movie posters that I've seen, that I love, that I enjoy, or that I think, you know, deserve a little a bit of attention. And so it goes from your more popular things like your Tyler Perry's and your Spike Lee's and your Ava DuVernay's, but also does a little bit of history. And so you'll see some Oscar Michaud there. You'll see some Cassie Lemons there. You'll see some Julie Dash there, giving you a little bit of everything. So if you're interested, go ahead and check out that particular page. Again, it's Black Movie Posters on IG.
I love it. We love to hear it. Okay. Congratulations on that. I'm going to go make sure to follow it. Okay. We are going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we want to get into some of the moments that you've told us we either really stepped in it, that we could have been better, or one time that I recently said something that was completely inappropriate, but then I had to...
I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. How dare you?
Tyra's tired of your shit.
Honey, that's 2 weeks in a row, sis. You've got about one more time to interrupt me while I'm doing a toss to break, sugar. When we come back, why some of y'all are fanti...
Childish.
Fanti. Hey, so here's the thing. We're all trying to figure out how the world works right now and what we're supposed to be doing, where we're supposed to be going, and how it's supposed to be working out. And one of the things you don't want to have to be worried about is how you're getting your audio. We have these fantastic earbuds that we use every single week on the show now. I've been wearing them in the video, so if you look on Instagram, you can see the Raycons in my ear. They are the awesome earbuds that come from Raycon. Before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair of wireless earbuds, you should check out Raycon. The Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands, you know.
So now I've been telling y'all for the past few weeks that they've been, you know, advertising on the show that one of my favorite things, because, you know, the technology is not my friend, is how seamless and easy it, you know, automatically connects over Bluetooth to your variety of products. I connect it to my laptop, I connect it to my cell phone, I connect it to the iPad. I can connect it to whatever you want, honey. And it does it very easily, and, you know, it's very successful. And I say that because it's just very important for those of us who are technology challenged. You know, I just hit one button and voila, it pairs. And I really enjoy the fact that it cancels out all the other sound. So when I wake up early in the morning and for whatever reason, you know, they are mowing the lawn outside in the middle of the rain, I can pop in my earbuds, play a little bit of music, and just go back to sleep. It's really beautiful. If you're interested in getting your own pair of earbuds, now is the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/fanti. That's buyraycon, RAYCON.com/fanti for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. buyraycon.com/fanti.
Hey Max Funsters, it's Jesse Thorne. This week on my public radio interview show Bullseye, I'm talking with Tina Fey and Robert Carlock about creating Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, 30 Rock, and also just kind of why they're the best at everything.
There was a window of time when we used to go to awards things and pick up our prizes and party with the people from Mad Men.
You can find Bullseye at MaximumFun.org or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search for Bullseye with Jesse Thorne.
All right, welcome back to Fanti. So as Travelle told you, we are 15 episodes in. This is our 16th episode, and we get a lot of feedback from you guys, which was actually probably more surprising to me, I don't know, than it was to you, but I've been surprised by how much feedback we get on the show, whether it's tweets, whether it's DMs, whether it's emails directly to the inbox, and y'all can write a lengthy email, let me tell you. I appreciate the passion. I appreciate how much you guys are into the show and how much you have opinions about what we're doing. So we wanted to jump into the mailbag because there were some times where you guys liked something we did or you didn't like something that we did or you had or suggestions about how it could have been done better. And so this first one, let's talk about RuPaul, the RuPaul show that we did.
Okay.
We called that episode RuPaul versus RuPaul Andre Charles.
Yes. And we were having a conversation about the Drag Race host and began discussing, in a point of the episode, we began discussing like some of the trans contestants and the differences between like drag identity, trans identity, and cross dressing when Jared made a boo boo.
Oh, God.
And we actually left it in the show. So do you want to tell the people how you fucked up?
Why don't we just play the clip? Even if we're talking about cross-dressing, right? Caitlyn Jenner is someone who, you know, has talked about prior to transition when Caitlyn identified as Bruce, you know, had talked about, you know, cross-dressing for a period in private and, you know, sometimes going out into hotels before identifying as trans. Okay, so there I was dead naming Caitlyn Jenner. And I wasn't like intentionally, I'm familiar with how dead naming works, but I was not 100% clear on how to use the name if we were talking about Caitlyn or any trans person pre-transition. And so that was my mistake. And I felt immediately like when I realized what I was doing, I think actually with Travelle, it was because you had mentioned Caitlyn and said Caitlyn, or the way that you addressed it made me realize like, oh, crap, I think I messed that up. And so by the end of the episode, I came back and made sure that I corrected it.
Yeah, and so we got a tweet from Dave Mooney. Shout out to Dave, Dave Mopedia on the Twitters. And he talked about how he was really impressed on that episode of how you acknowledged and apologized for accidentally dead naming in the flow of conversation, and the fact that we actually left it in the episode as a learning moment. And I think that, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, having these complex and complicated conversations, and I think one of the things that, you know, is gonna happen when you're having these types of conversations, you might make a little mistake. You might, you know, put your foot in your mouth real quick, but you can always take your own foot back out, you know? And I think that that was like an example of you like recognizing your own missteps and mishaps and then like holding your own self accountable. And I don't know how you feel about us keeping it in the show, but I don't even think we discussed it. I think it was kind of like obvious that we wanted to keep it in, even yeah. though it, I think, was a little extended situation.
Yeah, no, there was never a question for me about like leaving it in or taking it out. I think what I'm enjoying about this show is that we are all able to have these complex, we use this phrase so often, complex and complicated conversations. We're so often able to have these conversations, but I think it's also important for us to recognize like we are all learning. And I think it's also important to recognize like we are LGBTQ people, but like we don't, I mean, we all have a lot of things to learn, right? And we all can do things better. And so, Travel, can you, I think you can do this better than I can, kind of explain what dead naming is and why it's a problem, and then so that people can understand what we did there.
Dead naming is using a trans person's birth name after, you know, they've transitioned. So like the idea is that for a lot of trans people, they were who they were even when they were living as, you know, the sex that they were assigned at birth, right? And so when you're talking about Caitlyn Jenner, for example, we don't need to say her previous name in order for people to know who Caitlyn Jenner is, right? And I think that's the situation at hand. And so I hope that, you know, makes sense.
And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, for trans folks, the connection to the dead name can be really painful or traumatic, like going back into that name, if I'm not mistaken. And so the use of that name is something that, the dead name is something that we just don't do.
Yeah, I would say that. And then I would also just make it a lot more basic. And I would say, you don't want me calling you by a name that you don't want to be called by.
Well, there's
whether you trans or not. Right. And so I think it's about, you know, what Erykah Badu say? She said something about being made in his image and call us by our names. Ain't that what she say?
I don't know if that works, but I'm going to let her off.
It does work. OK, I promise you it does. I promise you it does. But yes, we wanted to keep that in the episode because, you know, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to fuck up and like. We want this to also be a space where, you know, anybody, right, can feel comfortable, like, holding us accountable, but also holding themselves accountable as we try to do with the different people that we speak on. And I guess that's actually a good point, point for us to pivot to our next comment, which we actually got a couple comments about this episode. This is from our episode, Baby Got Back Fat. Featuring Kevin Carnell and Jessica Rihal.
Before we do that, we get into where we messed up, I think we should mention how these episode titles happen. And like we are in a text message thread, me, Travel, and our two producers, Laura and Jordan. And like usually we tape the show on Tuesday, and then at some point on Wednesday, someone will come in and say like, "So what are we calling this?" And every week that happens. And like, I want to say yours was baby got, you came
back
up with
rolls.
The back rolls, right? And I think I suggested baby got back fat. And there were like 10 yes. other different titles. Every week, I feel like there's a dozen different titles. And we just end up settling in on one. And this week's episode, or that week's episode, I should say, was baby got back fat. And I still yes. don't know if it's perfect, but it works.
It is perfect. It works. And it was a conversation, right, about like, our relationships to our own bodies, to fitness, to this idea of like working out and weight loss. And we had two wonderful guests who joined us, as we mentioned, Kevin Carnell and Jessica Rihal, who are both like, you know, body positive,
fitfluencers,
gurus. Yes, fitfluencers is the word that we were using. And there was a situation that we actually got a couple messages, at least one tweet, and then this email that we're going to read. But first, we're going to play the clip of Kevin, one of our guests, talking about his perspective on what it meant to be fit and how it's about more than just being able to achieve certain goals while singing Beyonce,
about how your body looks and more about what your body can do.
Yes.
There you go.
All of that. Uh-huh. You ain't smarter than me.
on Sundays. Take a look. Take a listen.
Be able to do things that make me happy, and I'm able to find the joy and the comfort and the gratitude in the body that I've worked hard for, but also been blessed to have. Mm-hmm. Because to be honest, to be able-bodied is a blessing. And I think being in quarantine or being without the things that made us so comfortable in the past really does kind of shift that gratitude. And it's like, wow, I should really be thankful that I'm able to walk unassisted to the grocery store. Because if you go to the grocery store now and we're trying to get everything we need so that we can stay in for the week, they have hours for the elderly or the disabled, and mm-hmm. they don't have the same opportunities or the same things that we should be grateful for. So it's like, don't wait until you lose those things to be grateful.
Okay, so that was the clip. And I remember when he said it, I did think to myself, like, I don't know how that comes across. And I knew what the spirit of what he was saying was, just like having gratitude for, you know, for what he was, for the life that he lives. But we got this letter from Carmen, and I wanted to just read a portion of it. She says, I found one of Kevin Carnell's, mind you, she had a lot of praise for the show before this, but she said, I found-
And she should. How you doing?
Not doing this with you today.
Today.
Ooh, okay. the struggle at the end. So Carmen's letter says, I found one of Kevin Carnell's comments about being grateful that he is able-bodied to be contrary to the spirit of your show. And I was disappointed that the comment wasn't gently challenged or qualified by one of you. What I found disheartening about the comment is that it assumed that almost anything is better than living in a disabled body, a typical ableist view of disabled bodies and people with disabilities. People with disabilities are even more marginalized if their bodies don't fit the mold of non-disabled bodies, particularly if their disabilities were acquired at birth or in early childhood. Many people with disabilities find that it's the society and the stigma associated with their disabilities that is more disabling than the bodies they inhabit. Perhaps that could also be a topic for a future show. Anyway, I just wanted to get that off my chest since it marred an otherwise excellent show. Keep up the great work. Carmen.
So, as I said, then we also got a tweet that exact week as well that also mentioned, you know, a kind of discontent with the comment that was made. And then in particular, I think with us, neither one of us, like, you know, having the wherewithal in that moment to actually say something to either kind of provide further context to what he was trying to say and the intention behind his statement or to challenge what he said. And I think, you know, this is a good example. I think, you know, y'all right, we wrong. I think I similarly in the moment, I don't know, I think I was allowing what I believe to be his intention to, like, carry the statement, though, you know, I'm a firm believer that intention alone does not absolve a particular sure. person or a particular situation from its impact. And I think, you know, you're all right. We did not do what we needed to do as hosts of this show in the space that we provide to, I don't even know if I would say it's like pushing back on what he said, but like to provide further context and to work with him on better phrasing what he meant. Because I don't think he meant to be, in the words of this letter and some of the other comments, you know, ableist in that language. Though, of course, you know, we all have our different dead angles, I think is what we're supposed to say. We can't,
blind spot anymore, right?
Right, but you're not supposed to use that one. It's dead angle. Is correct. You know what they say instead, but yes, I think that's a very valid comment, and you know, definitely things for us to work on in the future and being, you know, more, I guess, more present in those particular moments.
Absolutely. Our second episode was following the controversy over Gail King's questioning of Lisa Leslie about Kobe Bryant following his death. And we did a show that was called Why You're Wrong About Kobe Bryant and Gail King, and we talked about Kobe's past as it pertains to Black folks, and we got the following letter. This letter was multifaceted. We actually had part of this letter in another show, but I wanted us to be able to read this part of this letter because I think it was an important thing for us to get into. It says, when I first heard the news about Kobe, my reaction was, wasn't he one of those guys that got away with rape because he's a sports star and no one remembers that? When I read that Felicia Somez was suspended from her job for pointing that out, I believe she's at the Washington Post, that just soured me further. Your discussion on Kobe helped me to understand the broader context of the story, including the race issue that I hadn't even considered before. They go on to say, knowing how much he changed personally after this incident and now, and how he used it as motivation to bring positive change to the world has brought me around on Kobe. I'm so glad this isn't the story of, quote, you can get away with rape as long as you're good at sports, end quote, that I thought it was. Thank you for helping me realize that sometimes at least the world isn't a ceaselessly terrible place. Signed, Tig. And I think this kind of speaks to what you and I were just talking about your intention always matters, but the impact that it has also matters. Which is something I've always been challenged with, especially being a person in media where, you know, the job is putting out things into the world. And for a long time, I've always felt like I only have control over how something is presented. I don't have control over how it's perceived. And while that is true, there is also, you know, responsibility for the way that something lands sometimes, especially if it lands in a way that hurts or harms people. One of the reasons this was important to me was this idea of intention versus impact. And we just talked about that, obviously, with the last story as well. But this was something that was important to me because I, as a person that works in media, the job is putting things out into the world, right? And so I've always believed that you really only have control over the presentation, not the perception. However, you do have a bit of responsibility for how things land sometimes, especially if they, you know, harm or hurt someone in a way that you may not have intended. And I thought that Kobe's apology was pretty solid. I thought that he did a good job, in my opinion, of saying, like, I did this thing that hurt you in a way that I did not, you know, intend for it to or perceive it to at the time. And I apologize for that. And I think that he did a pretty good job as far as apologies go. So I appreciate this letter from Tig saying that they were grateful for the way that we were able to kind of highlight that in Kobe's story.
Yeah, and I think that this, I mean, a little behind the scenes for the listeners is like this was the first episode that we did that like wasn't originally on our like calendar of topics, right? You know, the whole situation had went down and we were like, okay, girl, we got to do something on these, honey. And so
I think that was more your language than mine, but
that's all right. You hate femmes. It's okay. It's all right.
Wow. Really?
We should say, I want to tell the listeners, we should say that, like, you were a little delayed there because you were drinking water at the time that I said that. You're
done. I mean, my God.
It's all right. But thank you, Tig, for that letter. I really enjoyed the conversation that we had on that episode as well, looking into, like, the complexities of that particular situation.
Speaking of conversations that you uniquely enjoyed.
Oh, wow, the disrespect. We had a fabulous episode with Sam Sanders, host of NPR's It's Been a Minute, titled The Reason Black People Don't Eat Chicken in Public. And I'm taking all the credit for it. I wear the credit and the
honor. I was
going to
say, how did we come up with that name?
Well, because I think it was, it grew out of one of the tweets, right? We each, all three of us had these tweets that we had made over, you know, the last couple years about chicken. And one of my tweets was, black people eating fried chicken in public is a revolutionary act. Right?
Right.
So I think that's why, you know, that's where the title grew out of. And, it was based on this idea that, you know, black folks don't really eat chicken in public and watermelon. And it's how it's connected to all of these like deeper issues about racism and, you know, colonialism and imperialism and all that other stuff that, you know, we've been having to deal with in this particular country.
There was
this
some
particular continent.
Really cool, like, side note information in that episode about why there's the stigma around chicken, why there's a stigma around watermelon. And I really appreciated what came out of the episode. So it's a really good one to go back and listen to.
And always a shout out to Miss Mary J. Blige.
What's in the new chicken wrap?
I hate you so much. But we got a couple tweets. We actually got a number of responses to that episode in particular. One that I want to give a shout out to is Miss Eva Woodward, at Eva Woodward PhD on the Twitters.
Come on, PhD.
Who said because of our episode, her and her family went to Popeye's Chicken for the first time in a decade because they had to try out the Popeye's Chicken sandwich.
Like, now,
they
Popeye's finally can run us some money.
Listen, okay.
Listen, can we talk to David in advertising here? Who runs ads? Can we talk to Netflix and Popeyes about cutting us our coins, please?
Child, Popeyes is not worried about us, okay? They are selling out them chicken sandwiches still, okay?
But
shout out to
her
and her family for, you know, trying out the chicken sandwich. She said we were right and that it tastes amazing. We also got another tweet from a fan of the show, a friend of the show, I guess just say at this point, Brad, who we've mentioned a couple times before in our feedback segment, who wanted to share some thoughts about, we didn't say this part, that the fried chicken episode kind of grew out of this conversation, partly about like boneless chicken wings versus bone-in chicken wings.
Which is why it was so hard to convince me to do this episode. To be clear, the reason I didn't want to do the episode, or that I wasn't necessarily convinced that this was worth an episode, was because this really was born out of whether or not boneless wings are a thing. And like
they're
whether not or not
a
they
thing.
Should be
they're,
called that.
They're chicken
they
nuggets.
Are
boneless
a thing.
Wings are chicken
I
nuggets.
Don't appreciate your erasure of the boneless wing. Okay?
They're just chicken nuggets, okay? Sam Sanders said it best. Anyway, Brad wanted to let us know that, first of all, he's mainly in favor, he's mainly on my side, right? The process of eating a bone-in wing is the best thing, Brad says. Not only is it more engaging, but you get to enjoy the perfect blend of a good wing sauce and then the perfectly cooked meat. Cleaning a bone and wing is great.
Okay, but also,
but then he continued, slow down.
Thank you. Go
he
ahead
then
on.
Continued to say to you that he kind of sees your side as well. Boneless wings carry more reward in terms of food you are absorbing. There's something else worth mentioning. Boneless wings also tend to be cheaper to buy. Brad said that if they were broke and wanted wings that filled them, they would get boneless.
Thank you. Because I always get annoyed.
Cute, but I ain't broke, okay? I want
I get
my
annoyed with
in
having like a pile of bones to throw away. I'm
chicken.
Like, I wish that there was, I didn't have all this extra crap left. And when you have a bone, there's like, you got to do the work to like really get in there and all this other stuff.
So yeah, shout out to the chicken conversation. That was one of my favorite episodes. It was so much fun. Thank you, Sam Sanders, for joining us. If y'all haven't listened to the chicken episode, you gotta go for the boneless wings versus bone-in wings debate. Stay for the history education that comes from it, okay?
The idea that you're coming for that debate concerns me. Okay, Travelle, let's take a break here because considering where we are in time, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a couple more of your messages back to us, including what I know is probably my favorite episode and some of your feedback on that. Don't go anywhere. Fanta's coming back.
Hi, I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host When Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting.
Whether you are a parent or just know kids exist in the world, join us each week as we honestly share what it's like to be a parent.
These are really hard questions.
They are really hard questions.
I don't have any answers for them.
I don't either.
Sack of garbage.
No.
The end of the show will just be 5 minutes of Biz and Teresa crying and screaming until the outro is played.
So join us each week as we judge less, laugh more, and remind you that you are doing a great job.
Find us on MaximumFun.org, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Alrighty, people, we are back again. As you know, this is our episode dedicated to all of your feedback. And I think what is actually, we probably agree on this point, our favorite episode that we've done to date, When Gospel Music Slaps and Leaves a Mark, featuring Michael Chen, executive producer of the Clark
now,
Sisters.
I gotta say,
Lifetime movie.
I gotta say that Laura came up with this title. I don't even think we discussed this title. Did we discuss this? We did some back and forth,
and then Laura dropped this title into the text message, and we were like, that's it. There it is.
That's the one. Okay, so the one that she surprised us with, because we didn't end up having a conversation, was Why White People Love Wakanda, the episode that we did about all the white people that listen to the show that keep sending us notes saying, like, I'm not a part of your demographic. And none of us knew that that was going to be the title. And at first, I was like, huh? And then I was like, oh my God, that's brilliant. That's really good. When Gospel Music Slaps and Leaves a Mark, featuring Michael Chin, was the episode. And we both, first of all, I cried on the show. I hate that. Again, not like a masculinity thing. I just don't like crying on the air because I feel like crying is a moment when you're not in control of like what you're doing. And like, especially if you get into like a real good cry. And I hate crying on the air because I'm hosting, like I'm supposed to be driving the ship and the
You didn't cry. You just like, it was just a little sniffle.
But I couldn't get out. But I couldn't get out my next words, which is why I tossed it to you. It was like, say something, because I couldn't do what I had to do.
That episode, right, was about us talking about our relationships as Black queer folks to the church, to Christianity and specifically, and then our relationships in particular with gospel music. So we shared a lot of our favorite gospel songs. So I think that's definitely a highlight. And we got some feedback from you all. These come from Twitter. This first is from VI_Hamilton on Twitter, who said, between your most recent episode on gospel music and the recent Clark Sisters production, woo, I am in my feelings. Gospel is something that should always be a source for support and healing, especially in these times. Shame that Christianity can be used as a tool to exclude. And then we had a second tweet from actually one of my friends, Chris, who went we went to Morehouse together, who said, "Woo!" Apparently, the gospel episode made everybody go "Woo!"
Woo!
He said that episode eight is putting me through it. I'm on the opposite end of Travell and Jared. I left Christianity/the church when I faced its abuse, and by default, gospel music triggers me in such a way that I can never enjoy it. As a PK, a preacher's kid, this is hard for me. Well, I'm sorry that the episode triggered you, Christopher, but you listened anyway, so shout out to you. That was our favorite episode. We very much so do appreciate him. That was our favorite episode. And it allowed us to kind of peel back the curtain a little bit about who we are and our motivations and backgrounds and things like that. Really like that. And I think we should, I guess we should say, I like giving little tidbits behind the scene. Mm-hmm. We actually recorded that episode during our like piloting process for the podcast.
Yeah.
And so that's when we knew that we were like, we were on to something. We was like, oh, bitch, that's that episode. We've got to save and actually play that one.
Yeah. So the fan side part of that episode we had recorded months before. And we taped the other parts like, you know, the week that the show came out. But I do remember we did three episodes. And one of the other shows that we did in advance was the RuPaul episode. But we actually did a new version of that RuPaul episode for you guys that the week that it came out, as opposed to using the old one.
Anyway, we did do, you know, we were trying to test out the idea for the podcast and figuring things out. And so this was one of the episodes that actually, you know, made it to see the light of day because we really enjoyed. And, you know, I think had like a, you know, the girls like calling everything transformative. It was a transformative experience.
It was a transcendent moment. Yeah. Okay, so finally... we are going to talk about this episode we called We Love Monique for Real, which if you don't get it, you know what? If you know, you know. If you don't, you don't. It's fine. So we talked about Monique in this episode and I loved this Monique episode, actually, after listening back to it. We were talking about kind of the controversial nature of Monique. So Kathia Woods tweeted us a series of tweets, and here's what they said. She said, Fanside Podcast, interesting convo on Monique. I think she should be working, but my number one issue with her is her lack of self-awareness. She doesn't take any responsibility for some of her poor business choices, aka her husband manager. Also, she tells half-truths. She can advocate for herself without kicking in women like Whoopi, who was the first Black woman to make $20 million a picture, who was a major box office star and is the most decorated Black comedian, and an EGOT will trump everything. You know, we don't use the word Trump anymore. We use supersede because Whew, that word has been tarnished. Also, Will Packard hired her when no one else would, but she talked crazy about him. Last, I'm not an Amy Schumer fan, but she was the first female comic to sell out Madison Square Garden. Monique never sold out the theater. Trainwreck was Amy Schumer's idea. She wrote it and starred in it. $140 million at the box office. I enjoy the podcast. Keep up the great work.
I do. I want to address some of the points that Ms. Katia made. How you doing, sis? So here's the thing. The idea of her lack of self-awareness, like, that's actually a point that you also brought up during the episode in terms of, like, her not knowing, you know, exactly what her reach could be. Like, she was asking people to boycott Netflix, and it seemed like, okay, sis, don't do that. That's not the route you want to take. And so, like, I want to give some credence to that. But I do want to ask this question of, like, she mentioned how, I guess, the conversation that Monique had against, you know, Whoopi Goldberg, and how she said Whoopi Goldberg is the most decorated Black comedian. Because Whoopi has, you know, Whoopi is an EGOTer. Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony. I guess my question is, what do we mean when we say most decorated comedian? Because I don't look at Whoopi as a comedian anymore.
I was hoping you weren't going to ask this question because I don't know it's a hard one to answer. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't think there is an answer, right? But, like, I don't look at Whoopi as a comedian anymore. She hasn't done, to my knowledge, like a stand-up type of show in a minute. Whereas Monique, even as she's been doing this acting thing, has persisted in terms of stand-up.
So the challenge here is what the awards are for. And I don't think people pay attention to this enough, right? So when we're talking about someone being in, you know, an Oscar-winning person, right? For instance, let's take Jennifer Hudson, right? We would never call Jennifer Hudson an Oscar award-winning singer because she won an Oscar for her performance as an actress, right? So we would say she's an Oscar award-winning actress. Or we would never go to Barack Obama and call him a Grammy award-winning president or a Grammy award-winning singer or Grammy award-winning whatever. He won his Grammy for, you know, a spoken word book version of his book in 2008. So when we look at Whoopi Goldberg, like, she is an EGOT, but her EGOT is kind of spread out amongst the different things that she's done. So we wouldn't call her like the most decorated comedian per se. She's a very well decorated actress. Does that make sense?
I mean, that's what I'm saying, though, right? I'm saying that Monique's point in this whole conversation about why she felt like she should get more money from Netflix was that she's the most decorated comedian. And I feel like she was right in that statement because I don't look at, you know, Whoopi as a comedian. I think she's an actress that does a lot of comedy. I think she used to be a comedian, but is she a comedian today? It's one of those questions, like, if you did something, you know, 20 years ago, are you still that 20 years later? And I don't know. But last to the last point to Katia's point, is about, you know, the Amy Schumer comment that, you know, Monique made, that, you know, Amy Schumer got, I think it was $14 million or something like that for her Netflix special, and Monique was being offered significantly less. And she was like, if I'm a legend, I should get, you know, somewhere comparable to what these legends are making. I think the ultimate point is that, listen, Monique is a Black woman in this industry. Shit's always going to hit the fan when it's a Black woman, you know, speaking up for herself, even if she is, you know, perhaps a little bombastic or, you know, a little extra with what she does. But I did, you know, Monique has a very special place in my heart. And so that was a really, you know, good episode. Thank you for your comments, Katia. Keep them coming. And then, you know, you mentioned this episode earlier, Jared, our Why White People Love Wakanda episode, which grew out of, right, you know, a lot of white folks who, you know, are our faithful listeners. Thank you, all white people, who were emailing us and DMing us and telling us, hey, I don't think I'm in your target demographic, but, like, I really love your show. And, like, that perturbed us, if you will. And so we got this email from Rob.
It didn't perturb us at first. The first few times it was like, huh, that's interesting. And then, like, the 10th time, it was like, why y'all keep saying that?
Why y'all keep saying that? And so Rob sent us an email. It's a little lengthy, y'all, so bear with me. It says, I too thought I had discovered some type of secret space where black people could read white people for filth and get away with it. And I was here for it. The reason I felt that way was the language that you use. Being a white person who has always connected with black culture and kept, quote unquote, color in my circle of friends, I felt like I could hear what you two were saying from a different perspective. But the more I listened, the more I felt like, dang, am I too white for this? Maybe. I imagined a show where two gay white men said some of the same things you say and how that would be received. Probably not too well. And I was getting offended even though I was consciously trying not to. After listening today and hearing other whites say they too were feeling like this wasn't for them, I thought, okay, so it's not just me. And I was surprised to hear that you guys were surprised that white people felt that way. I think ultimately, quote unquote, woke white people try hard with their languaging to not be offensive and to be inclusive, but y'all just let it rip on the white people, which left me with this. I'm still white. Yes, you are. I'm always going to be white. And no matter how much I want to be inclusive and support black culture, I can't not be white. What I mean by that is my skin color will always dictate how I am perceived, spoken to, and treated by society. And then it hit me. This must be what it feels like to be black. What it must feel like when everything isn't designed just for your whiteness. Holy shit.
Man.
And this is why your show is, in my eyes, more designed for white people than anyone else. Uh-oh. I don't know where else a white person can get this particular experience of true blackness. If you were a TV show, there would still be a level of appealing to white people that would be underlying. Now, instead of feeling like this is a secret space for black people to read whites, I see it more as a safe place where black people can be black without the considerations for white people. Stay great, Rob.
Okay. A couple of things here. Rob, first of all, you are spot on about a lot of things. Like, this is definitely what it's like to be a black person or any marginalized group, right? Like, if you're not a straight white man, you experience this on some kind of a level of not feeling centered in the conversation. So the first thing is, you were saying, I imagined a show where two white gay men said some of the same things that you say and how that would be received. And I think it's always important to remember, like, and I think you do get this, and so I'm not saying you don't, but I think it's important to always remember, like, all things are not equal, right? Two white gay men saying one mm-hmm. thing versus two black gay men saying another thing are not equal because of the ways that, like, oppression hits white folks and the ways that oppression hits black folks. For me, whenever I'm thinking about white gay men, I think, like, white gay men are still white men at the end of the day, right? And, like, they still move around the mm-hmm. world as white men. And black gay men are still black men before anything else. And like, the gay part of it comes into the conversation later. And then we can even talk about where you are on the spectrum of fluidity within gender and sexuality and all of those different things. So just always remember, like, when we're comparing black and white or anything else, like, all of those things are not always equal. The part at the end of the letter, you say, and this is why your show is, in my eyes, more designed for white people than anyone else. I would push back on that. Like, the show is not designed for white people.
That's why I want to fight you.
This show is not designed for white people. I think the show is a place where white people feel safe to come and listen and engage and ask questions. But the show is not, like, designed for white people. I think that we have designed or developed a show that feels inclusive and feels like, you know, people can come and be a part of these complicated conversations that we're having. Excuse me, complex and complicated conversations that we're having. But I wouldn't say that the show is, like, designed for white people.
Yeah, it's not. But I get what he's saying, though, right? And I think ultimately for you and I, our goal is to create a show that we would want to listen to create a show in a space where we are comfortable to say how we feel about a particular thing and to also love that same thing at the same time. And I think the focus on that type of complexity is what allows other people who may not be black or brown or queer or trans or whatever, who might be part of quote unquote dominant society, to also find space in that as well. And, you know, we not pushing y'all away. But, you know, there's definitely, I would say, a complex relationship that we would have to our listener base, broadly speaking, regardless of race, right? And then particularly for, you know, our devoted white folks who listen. You know, and, you know, I mentioned this before, even when we were coming up with the show and we were talking right about what we wanted this space to be, that, like, you know, we can create a space for black people where black people feel seen and held and held and honored while not, you know, particularly catering or focusing on white people, but realizing that white people are going to be paying attention because, you know, when you look at the demographics of people that are listening to podcasts, they're more likely to look like white folk than they are to look like us. And that's just, you know, the facts of it all. But thank you, Rob, so much for your feedback. And anybody, everyone who's been holding us down for these 15, now 16 episodes, as always, you can give us some of your feedback by tweeting us or following us on Instagram and DMing us there at Fanti Podcast.
Wow.
At Fanti Podcast. We love to hear and have your feedback. So thank you, Rob, for your comment. And for everyone else who has listened to us these 15, now 16 episodes and are very much supporting us.
Absolutely. We really appreciate all of you tuning in. Please make sure to let us know what you guys would like to be on the show. You guys are our faithful listeners. We really appreciate all the feedback that we get from you. So if you have ideas for things that you'd like to see in an upcoming show, please make sure to reach out to us and let us know what those things are. I want to mention really quickly before we go, I am on a new episode of a show called Heat Rocks. It comes out every Thursday. And the show is another Maximum Fun show. So it's a sister show of ours. And they really jump into in-depth conversations about music. And so Travell did an episode, I guess it was maybe last year or maybe a little bit further back. And you guys' episode was on Dreamgirls.
Soundtrack.
Yes, the soundtrack to the film. And so they asked me to do the show. And, like, I had wanted to do the show, but I was nervous because I wasn't sure that, like, I was going to be good at it. And I think I've told you before. Like, you're trash. No, but, like, I was nervous about it because I feel like I don't think about music in the same way that they do, Morgan and Oliver, who host the show. And so, like, I was anxious about it, and I took so many notes because I wanted it to be good. And like, I don't get nervous before interviews. Like, I talk for a living. So it was a fun show to do, and I really, really had a great time with it. So you guys can go check out Heat Rocks.
What album did you do?
I shouldn't tell them. I should just let them go find out.
Okay, cute.
Yeah. You guys can go check out Heat Rocks, and they have new episodes every Thursday. And yeah, so again, if you guys have any ideas for things you'd like to see upcoming in the show, or if you have any feedback about this episode, make sure to email us. You can go to send us an email at fanti@maximumfun.org. We also really appreciate your reviews on Apple Music. It helps the show to continue to grow and for other people to be able to find it. And leave us a 5-star review. Let us know what you think about the show, whether it's good or if it's bad. Either way, we want to give a special thank you to Corice, who is the composer of our music. That's Core. You can find him wherever you find great music. And we want to thank Ashley Nguyen, who is the photographer who did our cover and did all the graphics that you see in all of our social media videos. Our producers this week are Laura Swisher and Jordan Cowling. This is a production of Maximum Fun.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.
I think something was going on with the using the headphones, and yeah, it just wasn't working. All right, let's do this again. Sorry, guys. Give me more energy this time, Jarrett. We want it up, 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 not down, down, down. Okay?
I just have one quick note. This time, don't suck.